On this week's podcast, the tables have turned. It's not me doing the interviewing. Oh, no. This time, I'm the one being interviewed, and it got a little deep. Y'all ready? Let's go. Welcome back to the Gary Cantrell Podcast. So glad that you are here. And this week, got a doozy for you. About a month or so ago, I was interviewed on the Daryl Perry Podcast. Now, Daryl and I have been connected through Instagram for about the last 3 years or so, and we've done podcasts together over the course of those 3 years, and this was our first one together in about a year. I've talked about this on this podcast. I talk about it on his podcast, where the year of 2020 was just crazy, as a lot of you can imagine, and as a result, I just... I want you to hear it so that way you can just hear it and then I don't have to explain it here. But it was a bad year and I distanced myself from a lot of people, Daryl included. We talk about that in this podcast. We talk about content strategy, the story behind the Editable Adventures, and so much more. So I'm going to go ahead and play this clip. Thanks for Daryl for letting me share it with you guys here on my feed as well. And I'll drop links in the show notes to where you can check out Daryl's podcast and hear it for yourself. So without any further ado, here's me on the Daryl Perry Podcast. And by the way, I've done a lot of podcasts over the years. I love doing them. So if you ever want me on your podcast, please let me know. And if you want to hear more of me on other people's podcasts, I'll be happy to add those here to the feed as well. Anyway, I'm rambling now. Here's me on Daryl's podcast. Go check it out.
So this is a bit of a catch-up call, isn't it, man?
Oh man, it's been what? I'm sure you have the date because you have all your stuff cataloged.
I don't have the exact date on me, but I know it was last spring we did a catch-up, and I'm excited now because we're finally going to get to do that content podcast that we talked about because you got a lot of stuff going on, but a lot of it is centered around YouTube content and really diving deep into that. And then some new things with the podcast. So this will be good. So now 100 videos in 2021.
Yes.
What's the story behind that?
Well, I think Daryl, you would know better than anyone. You're a coach and you know that repetition leads to some skills. And when you do something enough, something that you really want to try to, you know, get better at, then as you go along, you're able to start to get better. You might become a better filmer, a better storyteller. You might learn how to edit your videos a little bit better. Now, I think that if I'm being fair with my opinion of myself, and I know we tend to beat up on ourselves all the time, I think that my competency when it comes to editing is decent. It's okay. It's not amazing. It's not piss poor. And then when you come to the video, you know, filming, I can film something. Sometimes I forget to plug in a microphone like I did on one of my videos about a week or two ago, and it didn't sound as great as I wanted it to. And then you also learn about the storytelling. So 100 videos in 2021, it's kind of like that challenge I did on IGTV last year, but much more amplified. I mean, far more amplified to where it's like, you know, I don't have to do one every single day, but the goal is to try to do them frequently throughout the months of this year. And I think as I go along, I'm going to get better and better.
And to kind of recap, the IGTV challenge that you did was basically, it was for you, but you were trying to get other people comfortable with making videos. So it was basically upload something, anything to IGTV. And again, it is about repetition. Now, with what you're doing and how you set this up, being a filmer, an editor, and all this is a little bit more than just record and upload. I mean, this is you doing the full cut, the full edit, and getting some things out. So, yeah, I think when you're looking at maybe 1 to 2 videos a week, that's more reasonable. But it's still a challenge, even for something that you've been practicing for a number of years. So
definitely. And just to clarify, I think I said this in that podcast or video, the Gary and Larry's Edible Adventures does count towards that. So obviously in my own mind, because I'm that big goal taker, I want to like try to do 100 of just me. And then whatever Gary and Larry does, it's going to be at least probably 50 this year for sure. But I would like to try to do 100 of my own, but if I don't, that's okay, because I know I have at least 50 that will be accounted for on the other channel. But I think, you know, the interesting thing about the 100 videos in 2021 is that, like, when I look at my personal YouTube channel, which I remember we talked on a podcast about back in like the summer of 2018, I think I hadn't even broken 200 subs yet. And today we're at 314. And that really blows my mind, because I haven't really done a lot with that channel up until, you know, very recently. Mm-hmm. And that place is kind of like a hodgepodge of just random stuff, throw it at the wall, see what sticks. Whereas the food channel is kind of much more concentrated, much more niche down. And IGTV, this is what I want to share this with your audience, because I know a lot of people are active on Instagram.
Yep.
There is this narrative going around that IGTV is dead, and I want to just shut that down right now if I can, because I don't think it is, Daryl. I think, honestly, there is a lot of life in there, and I think that if you use it correctly, that you can get people to check out these videos. I mean, I got a couple that have hit some decent amount of views, and I don't look at that and say this platform is dead. I think maybe there's just people that aren't using it right. Like, for me, you know, a lot of people say on YouTube that maybe vlogs are not so good anymore. If you want to break out on YouTube, you got to niche down. So, for example, on YouTube, maybe some more tech related stuff that I've been doing, I've seen some people interacting with that. But on IGTV, I've been doing more vlog content, and it's seeming to get some viewership. So I don't think that platform is necessarily dead yet. I don't know if you've heard that narrative, but I've been hearing it in some of the circles I've been running in, and it's driving me nuts.
Yeah, it's kind of the popular narrative with Instagram in general, which is that they've thrown so many features at it that it's overwhelming. And yes, there is definitely some truth to that. But I think and it makes sense that vlogging would work on Instagram, because what are people there for? You know, the weight loss community that you and I were a huge part of, it's people doing storytelling. It's people just sharing their day and what they're doing. And what better way to break up the pictures, the reels, and the 1-minute videos with these vertical long form videos? And again, you can put a little bit of production behind them. They can stand out, or you can also still kind of do the raw record and upload, and it still works. Now, it comes back to what it's always been, which is, for the creator, you and I are definitely on the same page where it is quality of the people consuming versus the quantity. And then for those that are consuming, it's similar, because they've got so much quantity that if you have a quality story and you have some editing skills on top of it, that plays. So yeah, I'm with you. I don't think the platform's dead. I think we've done this. You and I have done this stuff for long enough to realize that, you know, once people can't hit on a certain platform, or if they have an audience and then it kind of goes away, they're always looking for the next one. So with the rise of TikTok and the rise of just all these other platforms, you know, the thing now is to say that, okay, Instagram is dead, but it's not. You just have to know how to use the platform.
Yeah, I get a question. This is going to sound like a weird question that people ask me, but they say, hey, Gary, how come in a lot of videos, when the video starts, you're not on the screen, like you're walking in or something like that? And I say, well, you stopped and watched it, didn't you? And they're like, yeah. I'm like, well, there you go. I stopped you in your scroll. And I think that content of any kind like that, if you can... On Instagram, what it comes down to, because there is a lot of noise there at times, I think if you can just stop somebody in the scroll. So it's like, okay, here's a selfie, here's a meme quote, here is a transformation photo, here is whatever. And then, why is that guy walking across the screen? What the hell is going on with that? So I've been just trying to figure out, like, how can I stop people in the scroll? And then if I can find a way to do that, then when I actually have the message to say, and I've been dropping like some short, like maybe motivational or inspirational kind of videos, I'm able to get them to stop and listen to the actual message, instead of just scrolling past and not hearing the value of the message.
Yeah. And I think, you know, you do have to grab their attention, and it's something that you're always trying to study and you're always trying to figure out. Now, we started, because I wanted to get into Edible Adventures.
Sure.
Because that's where you're doing a lot of stuff with YouTube. You almost directed the conversation that way a few minutes ago, and I was kind of smiling about that. But because I was ready to transition into it. But how did this start? You know, we talked about, you know, you and Larry and doing this stuff together. I've heard you say how you guys were always kind of wanting to work on a project. How did you decide on this one? How did it come about?
It was a product of the pandemic, quite frankly. That is where this began. On a personal note, 2020 nearly destroyed me mentally, and it was a year that there was just a lot of self-destruction and things going on around me that was just, it was getting out of my control, and I had to kind of reel it in. And Larry came back into my life. We weren't like on bad terms or anything. We just kind of lost touch for about 2 years. And yeah. He came back into my life around May, and we were just talking, you know, we wanted to get together and hang out. And I was just like, I had this feeling that I wanted to do something very creative. You know, I had this just kind of this creative thing, but I didn't know at the time yet what it necessarily was. I mean, I had the podcast that was going at that time, and I knew that video was somewhere in there just buzzing a little bit around, but it wasn't so pronounced at that moment. And we were just kind of talking. And we used to do bands together. We were in a couple of bands about 20 years ago. I just dated myself, yes. And so basically, I was like, you know, well, what else can we do creatively? And that's when the idea of a YouTube channel came. And one of us had said something like, you know, should we just film ourselves like vlogging and hanging out? I'm like, well, that would be cool. But like one of us then said, like, what if we just film our adventures going to eat stuff, because that was a part of our hangout. We would hang out, then we'd go and grab lunch or dinner, whatever time of day it was. And I'm like, people like to watch other people eat on the internet. I don't know what that is, but let's see if we can capitalize on it.
Yeah.
So, you know, you start brainstorming and you start figuring out like, how can you, you know, how does this look? What does it look like? You know, are we going places? Are we bringing stuff to the house? You think all these things, and how do we get it? You know, how do we get this idea to launch? And so we just spent the next 2 or 3 months planning and getting ready. We had probably about 2 or 3 months of filming before we actually like launched in August the 3rd. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. So we had some stuff in the can ready to go. We did a trailer. We spent like 7 hours filming a 1 minute sizzle reel trailer. Yeah. And we were off to the races, man. That's how it started. It was the pandemic. And if this pandemic never happened, I don't know that we would have gotten, maybe eventually, who's to say, but for all the people that say, God, this pandemic is just awful, there are some good things that came out of it. You know, at least in my situation.
Yeah. Well, and see, I feel like this gave you a chance to dive into YouTube as deep as you really want. And, you know, that's something, because you've talked about that for a while. Like, you really, really wanted to do it. You would kind of get started. But again, with all the platforms and all the things, you kind of got pulled away. I feel like this time, when you're going after something that is a niche that's really popular, and you've got somebody else that you're working with on this, then that kind of gives you a little bit of a license to dive into the deep stuff and the nitty gritty on it. And even I'm glad you brought up the trailer, because I wanted to talk about that, because you did plan this out. This wasn't something that was just put together in a couple days or a couple weeks. You had the launch, if I remember correctly, because you posted it. It was pretty much everywhere on social media. You got some good traction to the channel, and you, as you said, you were off to the races. Now, in that planning period, I feel like you probably started really jumping into like the evolving ways of setting up and promoting a YouTube channel. So what were some of the things that you have discovered first when you guys were prepping and preparing? And then since August, how has YouTube changed? Because it is constantly changing.
You got that right. I think YouTube Shorts is a great example of that. But yeah. I think that early on, I just thought about like, how did I, you know, I scaled an Instagram page to like over 6,000 followers. And I was like, you know, in that time, more than just a number, it was, I learned how to storytell. I learned how to share things and found different ways to put things out there and get people to kind of see what was going on, whether it was a podcast or some other vlogs that I did. And so I took some of that knowledge with me. Now, Larry, I think he'll even tell you this, and I think you guys have a podcast sometime soon, but, you know, he wasn't, like, too hip on as far as, like, knowing the ins and outs of, you know, promoting and the analytics. He was like, how can I show up and just and contribute and give value or give entertainment, you know? And he's really coming to his own with that. So going into it, we still didn't know a ton about YouTube. From the beginning, we were just like, okay, we have a video, we have an auto-generated thumbnail, and we'll think of a title, we're going to name it whatever we want to name it, and we'll throw a couple of tags on it, and people will find it. Well, as you go a few months into it, you find out that's not quite how that works. You know, you have keyword searching, you have your tags, your title, your thumbnail. Like, I had to learn all over again how to, like, do Photoshop and things like that to like cut out the bodies and put them over top of like a colored background that pops. Yeah. And then you got the food in there and try to figure out a way, again, kind of like the Instagram thing, to stop people in their scroll as they're looking through, like, whoa, who's that big bearded dude with that sandwich sticking out of his mouth? What's that all about? Let's go find out. And, you know, in the last like 3 or 4 months, I've really like taken a much deeper dive into learning about the analytics, trying to find different YouTube channels that are known educators in this space. Guys like Roberto Blake, Nick Nimmin, who's kind of like your doppelganger. You guys look exactly alike. And there's this other guy, Daryl Leaves. I just picked up his book. He works with Mr. Beast. He scaled about 30 channels to 1 million. So whenever he goes on like a Clubhouse or a YouTube live, I'm on there just listening to him just drop knowledge left and right. So then you learn about things like click-through rate, like, you know, how many people saw the thumbnail as they were going and then how many people actually clicked on it. And you try to figure out how to get that click-through rate up. And so, you know, before all of our thumbnails, I was just like, okay, here's a background of the restaurant. Here's our bodies cut out. We're making a weird face. But then you start to look at it and you're like, well, that doesn't really stand out. Like it's just not there yet. So then I was like, oh, well, what if we take the colors of whatever the brand of the restaurant, like McDonald's is red and yellow. What if we make like a bright ass red background with some yellow text and put our faces on there and you got the glowing around of our heads and everything, you know, and people are more likely to click on that than they are just a couple of dudes standing in front of McDonald's.
So, and for this, because I think it surprises people how much work goes into thumbnails and how important the thumbnail actually is. But it is for what you're saying, which is people are still scrolling.
Yep.
And when you're talking, so we're talking tags and keywords. And just for anybody that's thinking about doing this and getting started, the keywords come as much from the description as they do just the tags at the bottom, don't they?
It's kind of like a three-part series. So we just did a video on Del Taco in Las Vegas. So this is the funny thing. It's like we go to Las Vegas. I went to go see my father first time in 10 years, a big moment. But of course I'm like, well, how many places can we film over the course of 4 days? So it's like, okay, now we can make a bunch of videos. So let's just take Del Taco, for instance. So in your title, you want Del Taco in there somewhere and kind of what you're, in our case, what are you reviewing? So we had the steak burrito, and then in your description, like the very first thing should be right about Del Taco and the steak burrito. And then when you go down to your tags, the very first tag should be like Del Taco, steak burrito. And then like the secondary tag would be like Las Vegas Strip, because Las Vegas is highly searchable when it comes to like any content. I sit on there all day at times and watch videos about room tours in Las Vegas, because now that I've reconnected with my father, I'm going to be out there a lot more often. His health is not the greatest, so I've only got limited time here with him. So I'm going to be traveling out there. Point is, so you add in Las Vegas into the tags, the description, and the title, and so now YouTube can crawl that data and put you in the right place for people that are looking for those things, and you can get landed on recommended. So you might be watching a big time YouTuber who's in Las Vegas, maybe not Del Taco, but Las Vegas food review. And then you see that little next button and there's our video right there. That's the goal. You want to be recommended you want to make sure that YouTube knows exactly what your video is, what it's about, and who to recommend it to. Because when it comes to the algorithm, you want to really captivate people and get them pulled into your content. So the more searchable it is, the more YouTube will add you to recommended to where people will find you. And then you get views and stuff, which is that's the business we're in right now, trying to get more people on there and finding it.
There you go. Well, and I think it's important to go through this too, because if somebody is starting out and they're thinking, okay, I've got a story that I want to tell, and they might even say, hey, I've got some editing skills, I'm going to do vlogging, I'm going to do niche, whatever they're going to do. But what you basically described is that that's just one part of it. And that part, actually, if you can't be found, and I mean, you've probably seen a lot of YouTube channels that have, from a content standpoint, things are really good, but they're not set up to be searchable, either in the title, the description, or the keywords and tags. And like, what I found fascinating, so the tag, the order you put the tags in, that matters. Is that correct?
Because
I didn't know that. I thought you just had to have them in there.
Yeah. So whatever your target keyword is, so in that case, Del Taco, that's the very first thing in the title. It's one of the first words in the description, and then it's the very first tag at the bottom, and that's what makes you searchable. And I should really clarify this as well. At the whole forefront of it, Daryl, it's the title and the thumbnail. You could literally make like a Scorsese or a Spielberg level video, but if that title and in that thumbnail does not entice someone to click, they will never see it. They will never know you existed. They will scroll right past it. It could be a video that could literally change their life. So as important as the tags are and things of that nature, the title and the thumbnail are number one with a bullet.
Perfect. Nice transition. You mentioned Clubhouse.
Yes.
We've talked a little bit about Clubhouse. It's a nice idea. I think it's good for if you have a thought leader in there that's just hanging out and talking and you can have a conversation with them. But what have you seen? Because I know you spent some time in there and, you know, you mentioned learning about some YouTube stuff. What's kind of your overall thought on Clubhouse right now?
I think that the platform is incredible, but you can't get to that point until you find the right rooms, because a lot of times there are these rooms with influencers. We'll use that. I'm using air quotes for people listening that will basically, this is the Clubhouses I've seen a lot, where you get in there and before we can get to like the meat of the conversation, everyone has a 15-minute intro and they tell you about all the great things they've done and all the traffic they've driven to their website and how many clicks they've got on their email, you know, list and all that stuff. And it's a 15-minute intro and we're not even getting to the content. And so I try to hang out in the smaller rooms and just talk with YouTubers that are, you know, either small like I am, because we're at 189 subscribers, which when you think about it, put 189 people in a room, that's pretty incredible, but
absolutely,
it's considered small. And so you try to find people that are like, you know, smaller, and you just try to get the knowledge that you can, people that maybe they're up to 500 or 1,000. Okay, how did we get there? What kind of tips and tricks did you use? And you can network with some really good people, but you just kind of got to stay away from those influencer and those business strategist folks, because those rooms are no good at all for anybody.
Yeah, well, and you kind of touched on something that I think is really important when it comes to all social media and networking. There's a certain amount of leverage with your follower count, and it doesn't really matter what the exact number is. You can always find people that are within your range. So 200 subscribers to 500 is still pretty close.
Yeah.
And what you're talking about, which is like the sphere of YouTube, and you have creators of all sizes. And I think a lot of times what people will do is they'll see that somebody is an influencer and has a large follower count. If I want to rant, we can talk about how people get the follower count.
Oh yeah. I did a podcast about that.
Yeah. But, but the other thing is like, you know, so that people will see that, and somebody that has, you know, say 100 subscribers will see somebody that has 50,000 and then want to talk to them. But really, if you're at the 100 subscriber level and you're talking to somebody that has 3, 5, 700 subscribers, you're going to learn a lot more from them. Because see, while they're in kind of the same space as far as the whole YouTube ecosystem as you, in actuality, you're talking to a creator that is 2.5-3 times larger than you, and they know exactly where your hangups are, and you can really build some solid relationships, because what you're trying to do is you're trying to network, and everybody's trying to grow. So I think the leverage of a social media following, no matter what it is something that's really important when it comes to networking. And I don't think a lot of people really think about it in that way.
No, I mean, definitely there's power in the networking. You just got to make sure you're networking with the right people. And I will say this, one of the people that surprised me, we talk about, you know, kind of going with the smaller people, smaller YouTubers. I don't want to say small people. That sounds really bad. But on the other side of the spectrum, one person that really surprised me on Clubhouse is Mr. Beast. He has like 55 million subscribers, and all this guy wants to do is go on Clubhouse and tell people for free how to make it on YouTube. And it's not just, you know, well, because he gives away millions of dollars on his channel. He's like, no, it's not even about all that. It's about how to get people's attention with the title and the thumbnails. And he's giving like actual real practical advice, and he will go on there. I was on there one night until like almost midnight, and I jumped on there at 9 o'clock, and he was on there for 3 hours just giving away all the secrets or supposed secrets. You know, he's just giving all this information away for free. I'm like, this guy could literally be doing anything. He could be in a Lamborghini driving somewhere doing whatever, and he's on an app talking with probably, I think there's like 5,000 people in that room, and just sharing knowledge. And that really surprised me for sure.
Yeah, I think when you get to this ultra level, I mean, there's only so much notoriety, there's only so much fame, there's only so much money. I mean, you get to the point where it's like, you know what, I'm fortunate to be in the situation that I'm in.
Yeah,
it's time to give back. And the other thing, and we've talked about this, like, just because you give the information, you said you were in a room of 5,000 people. A lot of people were probably super hyped about that for a couple of days, and then after that, they kind of fell off. So, I mean, that's kind of the thing with all the information is you could give somebody the best info in the world, but if they're not doing the things and being surrounded with the right people that are, you know, also doing the things, it tends to fall by the wayside as well.
Yeah.
I do want to get into podcasting because I know, one, that's where you started with everything. I know you're doing some different things now. Is it still viable for people to start a podcast in 2021?
Yes.
Okay. Want to get that out of the way first. Secondly, if somebody is just doing a general podcast and that's what they want to do, they want to start a podcast and they want to grow it to have an audience, what is it that they need to do to get started? What would be number one for them?
Well, I'm actually, this is interesting that you asked this, because starting tomorrow, and I don't know when this is coming out, but starting tomorrow, I have a series, and I don't know if it's going to be 5 parts or 10 parts, or however many parts it takes. I'm actually starting a how to start a podcast series. And so, I'm taking my time with it too. Like, these are actually really short episodes. They're like under 10 minutes, but I think they're really packed full of knowledge. So actually part one, I'll tell you exactly, this is where it should all start before you even pick up a phone or a microphone or whatever. You have to figure out what is the message you're trying to convey to others. You know, like what is the thing that you feel passionate to talk about? And then you have to ask yourself, are you ready to make a somewhat of a commitment? Because if you're going to get people on board, they're going to expect to see you show up to deliver said message. You know, are you a part of a community? And you don't have to have, you know, 10,000 followers, 5,000, 1,000, whatever. Right. You can literally podcast to anybody, but you got to make sure in your heart that this is really what you want to do. You have to set these expectations ahead of time, because most people that start a podcast don't make it past like episode 5. They just stop. So I think you really got to look deep into your soul and make sure that you really want to do this first. You got to know what your message is, and then you got to make sure that you want to do it. And once you figure that out, then you start to take the next steps. It's like, okay, Anchor is a great tool to get started. You have your phone. People say, well, I don't have all this fancy stuff. You don't need it. Pull out your phone, hit record, start talking. That's the best way to get going. But just make sure that you have an identified message and that you know that you have the time to do this, and then the rest just falls into place from there, really.
Yeah. Well, and I think the other thing that's really important is whatever your episode schedule is, you have to kind of sort of stick to it.
Yes.
So if you're going to do a weekly podcast, it has to be a weekly podcast. If you're going to do a couple days a week, it need, like, if you're saying I'm going to put an episode out every Tuesday and Friday, it has to be every Tuesday and Friday. And you're right. I think most people, they get started, they get in their head, and you know, you and I talk all the time about how getting in your head still happens. It doesn't matter how much of this stuff that you've done.
Yeah.
You know, it's still like, I mean, it still happens. So, I think just the consistency of sticking to that schedule is another huge thing. And this again is something, it's quality over quantity, especially when you get started, because podcasts are so shareable, like in real life, not just social media. I've got a link. It's, you see somebody at work and you're having a conversation and you're like, you know what? I think you would really enjoy Gary's podcast. And then they text the link. I mean, it's so shareable. And then if somebody likes it, especially if you've continued again to keep up with your schedule, then you have a library of episodes. So if they like episode 47, they're going to go back kind of like on Netflix, and they're going to want to binge listen. So, I mean, I love podcasting. I think there's a lot of noise and a lot of things that people want to try besides this. And they're like, well, podcasting's been around for a while. I think it's fantastic. And yeah, I saw that about the series. So I definitely want to bring it up because I know that you're still pretty big on it.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you know, you just figure out that message and you figure out the frequency, just like you mentioned, you know, and it's okay to, you know, be late a day or two here and there, but you set that up in advance with your audience. Like, you take the trailer or episode one, for instance, you say, hey, look, this is my podcast about whatever it is, and I'm looking to update it every Wednesday. Due to the nature of my job, you know, maybe there might be a time where I miss a day or I might miss a week, but guess what? I'll let you know on social media if that happens. Now you've given the listener a reason to follow you on social media so they can get the updates. You know, if they're invested in the podcast, now they may want to get updates on whatever's going on. So you just let them know ahead of time that, you know, there could be maybe 1 week that's a day late or whatever. That's fine. But don't, you know, don't start a podcast and say, I'm going to be here every Wednesday, and you just drop off the face of the earth, because that's what I did, and that stuff doesn't work. Let me tell you.
I think there's a couple things with that. I think if you podcasting over everything else, you really build a relationship with your audience, because they're passively listening to you. You are literally with them throughout their day. Yeah. Now, if, and I do, you know, we're talking about the consistency of a schedule, I also think, because, I mean, things happen. Like, things will happen in people's lives to where they can't stick with that schedule. Or, you know what you're saying, like, there's times that you just step away.
Yep.
Now, when you come back, and you did, the last video you did when you came back, I thought was very powerful. And then you saw the comments on it. I mean, people, again, you'd been away for a while. You come back, you do this video, and you weren't, like, throwing a bunch of bullshit at people. You're like, look, I really messed up with this, and I'm sorry. And the comments that you got on that post were, I mean, it was sincere, because you were sincere. So, like, your audience, I think with podcasting, they just really take, they really are invested. So you can come back, but you're right. You don't want to, you want to give them a heads up whenever you can. You want to always consider them. But yeah, I mean, it's, I think when you mentioned that example, I think it's, you know, you can make missteps, you can step away, you can come back. It's just, you have to put the work in to build the audience base back up, but you know, it can be done.
Oh yeah. 100%. I mean, and that it's a larger issue too, of like, you know, creator burnout, because that's ultimately in addition to the other kind of mental stuff I was dealing with, creator burnout was a big, big part of that. And you know, that was around the time where the new channel was launching. And I was kind of just, it felt like for the last month or so that I was just on autopilot. I was just trying to make that next podcast, get it out there. And I think that enough people, like, they want to start, they want to blow up, but they don't want to take into consideration what can happen when you take on too much too fast. And that's exactly what happened in my particular case. And we saw how that worked out. And it took me about 4 months to really get the train back on the tracks and start moving again. So I really want people that are, you know, if you're thinking about creating anything, podcast, a blog, videos, it doesn't matter. You know, as creators, we want to go all in, you know, that hustle culture. We want to just grind, grind, grind. But you have to slow down for a moment at times and take life in and see what's going on around you, because if you don't, you're going to hit a brick wall before you know it.
Well, and I think talking about burnout and hustle culture, hustle porn, whatever you want to call it, it's really a good thing for us to talk about, because see, we've gotten into a lot of the tactical stuff, a lot of the tech stuff with YouTube, which is what I definitely wanted to cover with you.
Yeah.
We've gotten into Clubhouse a little bit, and then, you know, talking about the how to actually start a podcast. But, you know, this whole thing of, you say, you know, because you get into this, I'm trying to build my network, I'm trying to grow. So you take on collaborations, you take on projects, and as a creator, what do you say? You automatically in your head, you're like, I can do that because this is what I'm doing, this is who I am. But you very easily can overextend, and it does catch up with you, and burnout is real. And burnout can be, maybe you drop off social media, like maybe you, instead of posting on all your channels, maybe you just kind of mail it in with a you know, real just low level post that you normally wouldn't do. Maybe you just take a complete break. But like, burnout's real, and especially when you talk about the comparison trap, because you start seeing other people on YouTube, you start seeing other podcasters, those analytics and those numbers and those follower counts and those subscribers, those can all play against you. So yeah, you definitely need to pace yourself, because you can hustle yourself right into the ground.
Yeah, I think that's what happened last year. I mean, for me personally, I can only speak to my own experience, but that's really what happened. You, everything you listed there, the numbers, the comparison trap, all that stuff, the hustle culture and all that, it all just kind of came to a head, and just had to like stop and say, what is going on around me here? I don't know what's happening. And then you got to pull it back up and get going again.
Yeah. I think one of the hardest things to remember is that the whole thing with content creation is ongoing. There's always going to be, you'll always wake up tomorrow, you'll have a chance to create something new. And no matter how much you do today, there's always going to be tomorrow. It's never ending. And depending on how you look at that, you can either try to manage and be ahead of that, or it will run over you. And I think the only way we learn to actually manage it better is to get run over a couple of times, because I know for me, like it has crept up. Like when it happens all of a sudden. Like you don't really realize that you're doing this. I listened to an old podcast I was on earlier this week, and I rattled off all the collaborations I was doing. And I mean, you remember this, at one point I had like collaboration shows going out just about daily.
Yes.
And you get to a point where you're just like, you've got all these commitments. You don't want to let people down. You're trying to come up with an idea. Those ideas aren't necessarily coming. And then all of a sudden you're like looking up at the ceiling one morning and you're like, how did this happen? And then you're like, how am I going to do this? So yeah, I mean, it's the side of content creation that we don't normally hear as much about, but you know, you really have to pace yourself. And I would much rather, again, somebody do, you know, one piece of content a day, or shoot one piece of content a week and gradually build themselves up, versus trying to take on everything at once. Because I think that's what happens, is we get excited and we try to take on all the things, and it just doesn't work out well.
For sure. I mean, and I could give you a very specific example of that. Now, real quick, is this like a new podcast feed, or are we talking to the main feed of your people here?
We are. Well, we're talking to the main feed, but okay, when we do the creator focused one, this will actually be one of the first episodes, and partly because of the discussion. I knew you and I were going to have a really deep discussion on content.
Yes.
But yeah, this is main feed, and this will be the content one as well.
Very good. So I can give you a specific example, and I'm glad to have this opportunity to speak to your community on the main podcast, because a very specific example of all this is, we go back to January of last year, and me leaving the Monday morning podcast. That's one example of when you take on so much. And we have been doing that for a while, but there were other things going on that where I'm stretching myself too thin here, and kind of just flamed out on a lot of different things. And so, you know, I'm glad that we can speak to your folks here, so I can formally apologize for that a year later. But you know, it's one of those things. It's like where you take on so many things, Daryl. You have so many things, and you feel like you have to just get out. You have to just find the quickest exit and run for it as fast as you can.
Yep.
And that was kind of the start of things last year for me. So I just wanted to share that specific example of the burnout so people can understand and kind of get a little bit of context when we're talking about this
stuff. Well, and another thing, because you're right, we had been doing that podcast for, I want to say, probably 7-9 months at that point.
Yes.
And you and I had gotten into so many other projects. At that point, that was the only time you and I would really speak. Yes. Now, before that, we were talking all the time. We kind of knew what each of us were doing. Yes. But I think we both probably had gotten to a point where, okay, we might scroll the person's Instagram 5 minutes before we hop on the line just to see what they're up to. But like, yeah, you and I were not at that point, and that was a breakdown in communication that should have never happened, but yes, it happened because we both got super busy. Yes. And then, yeah, and that's when stuff really kind of started to go. So,
yeah. So yeah. For the people that listened to that and really enjoyed it, I mean, I'm sorry it went down the way it did. But it's that thing of the burnout where you got so many things going on, and then mentally when you add all these things together, it's like a cocktail for disaster. And it was just one thing after the other. Then the pandemic came, hours got cut at work. I didn't know what the hell was going on. It was just like this whole downward spiral that I could not get control over. And so especially as being a creative, like you're just trying to figure out, how can I just get this next podcast out? And it's just, it becomes a whole mess.
Yeah. But I think the lesson in all that is, you were able to figure some things out. You've transitioned kind of the messages that you're putting out.
Yes.
And you're now finally doing some of the projects that you said 2 and 3 years ago that you really wanted to do.
Yes.
But you didn't really have the time, or you hadn't really jumped in to study them. Now you're doing the stuff that you want to do. So, I mean, that's it. It all has played out well, and you know, you're doing your thing now, man, which is awesome.
I'm rebuilding back from zero, essentially, as far as creativity is concerned. I mean, for the longest time, I had my mind focused in one thing, and that was like the health and fitness space. And because a lot of the times too, like towards the end there, I was like, well, of course I'm in this space because I know I can get the most clicks if I'm participating in this. Nobody gives a shit what camera I bought or how I'm using it. But when you put that into perspective, like, you know, now you're putting out stuff that doesn't speak true to like kind of like where you're at or what you're doing. And then you feel like a fraud. You feel like you're failing not only the people that are taking the time to look at what you're putting out, but then you're also failing yourself. And when you're failing yourself, you're really in trouble. And I mean, for people that may not notice, and I did a whole podcast explaining this in detail, but I like wiped my entire feed like clean. I was like, I want people to come on here and see a true representation of who I am and where I'm at right now. And, you know, I think that was the best course of action because I didn't want people to come for, you know, because all the old posts were so optimized for search and hashtags. I don't want somebody to see, okay, well, here's this picture from 8-9 months ago where he's working out on this treadmill and look at this gigantic sub sandwich he's consuming now. What's happening here? I don't want to confuse the marketplace, Daryl. So, I had to wipe it clean and essentially start over, really. That's really what I call it, is kind of starting over with that stuff as far as content creation.
Yeah. But, you know, I think as this stuff evolves and as you evolve, I mean, you're on top of the stuff that's trending now. But more importantly, it fits into where you are right now.
And yes,
with you doing the kind of content that you're wanting to do. So, because if you go too much into one direction for too long, for me, I'm afraid I'll become a mouthpiece. And that's why personally, like, I'm trying to branch out away from health and fitness. I will always do coaching. This is something I'm always interested in doing.
Yep.
But, you know, I have other interests too. I mean, and this goes back to when you and I had our first conversation. We didn't talk about health and fitness for like weeks. We're talking about like Nintendo and wrestling.
Yes.
So like, yeah. So I mean, like, you have to know yourself. You have to know where you are at that particular moment in your head. And what you said is true. Like, when you start feeling like a fraud with the message you're putting out, that's going to amplify the pressure so much. and then you can't be creative, and then you feel like everything's coming in on top of you. And when that happens, you just have to be able to take a step back and reset. So that's what you're doing. And I appreciate you saying that it took about 4 months to build. Was it the podcast you had to build that back up over 4 months, or was it like everything?
I think it's kind of everything, but the podcast specifically, like I knew, like it was kind of just coming to a head in my mind. I'm like, I need to explain this. I need to tell people where I'm coming from and why this thing suddenly just vanished off that you could never hear enough about that I was always talking about. Now, why did it go away, and why did all these workout photos disappear and all that stuff? And this is also another reason too why I try to tell people. It's like, I get it, you know, when it comes to like Instagram pages, you want to niche down and all that stuff, but I always really encourage people to post whatever you want to post, because if you're like me and you're in a season of your life where maybe health and fitness is not at the forefront of the priority, you know, you're going to want to just disappear off the app to begin with, because you're going to see all these other people and maybe they're doing amazing things, and you're going to feel that pressure. Like you need to post something. And then like we used to talk about where, well, now I got to post the 8 paragraphs of why I gained a pound and a half or whatever, and all these things. And so I always encourage people to just post what you want. If it's a health and fitness page, great. Share that stuff, but also share the other stuff too, even if it doesn't get as many likes. Because if there's one thing I can't stand, it's people that are, you know, just hungry only for likes and comments, that validation from the engagement that they're getting. Yeah. Post the stuff that is true to you. When I was kind of in that transitional period, and I would post, you know, you'd see a workout photo and then I'd post a picture of a camera or whatever, and that camera would get significantly less engagement. That for a while hurt. And I'm just like, why is that hurting me? Why? You know, this is something I'm into, and I should feel like I can post these things and not have to worry about how many likes and comments. And I think so many people get wrapped up into that. There is a podcast. I don't mean to be a plug machine, but there is a podcast I did about a documentary called Fake Famous. It's on HBO Max. And seeing what these people went through and the mental struggles that they dealt through with on their own as they were trying to blow up, and they were buying fake followers and buying fake engagement and all this stuff because they were trying to level themselves up next to other people who are probably also posting highlight reels and things of that nature. And there's just this constant want and this constant need for the validation from the engagement. And it gets people in the wrong area of thinking and gets them posting for the wrong reasons.
Yeah. Yeah, it's there is so much noise about this, and so much, because you will see the people that have 1 million followers, 10 million followers, 10 million subscribers, and by the numbers, there's a lot of them, but there's a lot of content creators. By the percentages, they're very, very low. Like 99.7% of content creators are, this is not an actual stat, but most people are never going to make a living off of this stuff. But because you see the hundreds of thousands or that do, you're not seeing the 10 to 20 million that don't. So, but yeah, it all starts with how you view yourself and how you view what you're trying to do. And you should absolutely post the stuff that is a part of you, regardless of how many likes or comments it gets.
Yeah. I mean, I've said this before, I'll say it again. If I was in this for the money, I would have been out of this a long time ago, because 14 years later, and I've made a little bit, but I've not certainly made anywhere near enough to support me or my family. So the money is not a part of it. At the end of the day, so many people, they want numbers. I want impact, Daryl. I want somebody, one person to come across a podcast and say, hey, I heard this, whether it be how to start a podcast or something about social media or something from an old podcast or sharing health or whatever. Doesn't matter. If one person came across it and they listened to something that I put out, or one person comes across a podcast that you put out, and that could literally change their life, I will take that every single day over making tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands, millions of dollars. I will take that over that any day of the week.
So I think, and this is actually the greatest thing for us to wrap up on, because we've talked about the tactical stuff. We've talked on multiple platforms. We've talked about how real burnout is. And now we're going to tell you what you really need to focus on. Because you and I both have had this experience where you'll put a piece of content out. You then get the message. You may get the message that day, or the ones that blow my mind are the ones that are like, they saw something that you put out weeks ago and they've been following you.
Yep.
They've been following you pretty much with all the stuff that you do. They went from social media to your podcast to, you know, wherever else. And they tell you what your message has done for them. And when you get that kind of engagement, that's better than hitting any algorithm. Because the thing when you hit the algorithm is you then start getting people seeing your message that aren't invested in it. That's when you start getting a bunch of like that. That's when the trolls come out. I found that when you're posting with and mostly just your audience sees it, you're not going to really deal with trolls because these people are there for you. It's when you hit the algorithm, which is that's the jackpot everybody wants because they want the numbers. That's when you start having the problems. But that's not where it's at. Where it's at is when you impact one person and really change their life. And you can do that. So anybody that's thinking of being a content creator, that is what you should focus on. If you focus on impacting one person, you're probably going to impact a lot more.
Absolutely. That is the key from day one from this, whether it's an entertainment podcast where I'm just hoping maybe I took you away from whatever stuff you were going through that day, or if it was actually something where I was sharing a story and that had an impact on you, or I was doing a podcast tutorial and that helped somebody. Like, it doesn't matter the impact. That's what I'm after. It's not the numbers. Yes, more numbers could equal more people coming in and being impacted. Of course, that's the obvious response to that, but it's not about the numbers first for me. It's always been about one person, two people that come in, they get an impact. That's what I'm really here for.
So impact over reach.
Yep.
Right.
100%.
We got a title of a podcast now. but no, man, this has been great. As I told you guys in the intro, I've got Gary's website and his Instagram linked up in the show notes. Make sure that you check him out. This was good, man. I'm glad we finally got to do the content podcast yes. that we talked about doing for like years. So this was solid.
But, yes, this is a lot of fun for sure.
Yeah, yeah. So is there anything else that you want to tell the folks as we wrap up here before we head off?
I would just say check out the podcast. It's linked right on my Instagram, GaryCantrell.com. Gary and Larry's Edible Adventures. That's youtube.com/TheEdibleAdventures. And the DMs are wide open. I do see people that, you know, they'll come in. Maybe I don't hear from people. If you want to talk to me, I'm an open door. Come on in,
Yeah. Say
something. I don't usually hit up first because I'm very shy and nervous like that. But if you want to have a conversation, Yep. The DM is wide open. Just say hello. All it takes is a simple hello, and you get a relationship like Daryl and I could have. Now, what are we going on, 3 years now since we've known each other?
Four years, man. What has it been? Whenever you interviewed Nikki, that's where all this started. It's her fault.
Yes, she was. So, she was having some Five Guys maybe, and then, yeah.
Yes.
I'm going to keep it clean this time, but yes you know
we'll
what keep I mean it by clean that.
And we'll just, Nikki, when I let her know that she came up on the podcast, but you've got to listen, she'll have to listen to the entire episode.
Oh, I know. This is right at the end. Oh my God.
I know.
It's going to be a big ask right there.
That is hilarious. All right. We will go ahead and wrap up here, guys. Gary, always, man, like it's like we can just jump on and do these whenever.
So, of course, man. Thank you.
But thank you for hopping on. And this was good. This was fun, man.
I had a blast. Thank you so much for having me.
All right, man. See ya.
See ya.